Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
We are Commanders.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, February 8th. New desk. Who dis? I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Go, JD. Got the new move in there already. Beauty camera move.
We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
That's not Lee. Yeah, way to jinx him. And finally, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello!
Too many moves on this podcast.
Too many moves.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second to marvel at the new desk from our guy, Wendell Holland, winner of Survivor, what, season 36, I think it was, Ghost Island?
Sure.
Yeah, Wendell coming through. He's obviously got the Beeve company is like, wood shop company. What do you call it?
Yeah. Production
company. Woodwork company, yeah, sure. Brought this solid piece of oak straight from the island.
This was an idol at one point. Yeah. So thank you to Wendell. We're very excited to finally have this. We're putting the ping pong table in the in memoriam video at the end of the year. That's what we're doing.
Hey, look, it served us pretty well, really, didn't it? It served its purpose. And
it did.
But it was always just an interim desk.
It was.
And didn't get promoted.
Hopefully, too, fingers crossed, especially for you people that just listen to the podcast, we will have less of the thumping, the mics, the pounding.
Trey just tested it out with the thump there.
It's a bit better.
Looking good, sounding quite good.
You really got to smack this
one. Yeah, you got to smack it. Before it was like if you touched it with a little pinky, you get a boom.
Yeah.
What the bass drop.
It's solid. I like
this is better.
When Wendell came and delivered it, you asked him, Skeets, what type of wood is this?
I got to know. Did you know? I mean, I look at a piece of wood. I have no idea what this is.
Oh, I never know.
Look at the grains here. Nice grains.
Wendell said oak. And you said, what did you say? You said, it's a good one.
I should have said, that's a wood I know.
More of that. Check out Wendell's Instagram. He's apparently got this big reel coming for the installation that he had yesterday.
Oh, putting it in here.
Yeah. He's had multiple camera angles going there.
Yeah, I thought that was your job for our show. What were you doing?
I was admiring Wendell's commitment there.
Lee was asking Wendell, am I going to get in your reel?
He was asking, can you send me that footage so we can post it? Yeah. Email in your NBA questions to NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at NoDunks Inc. On today's show, we're actually going to look at the elite teams in both conferences. And with the deadline coming up on Thursday, we're going to look at each squad and go, are they a buyer or a seller? Or maybe neither as we approach Thursday's deadline. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We'll get to last night's games as well. But we got some news here first. Let's just slip it in. Hornets guard LaMelo Ball and Spurs guard DeJounte Murray will replace their make their NBA All-Star debuts after being named as injury replacements by Adam Silver on Monday. LaMelo taking the spot of Kevin Durant, and Murray will sub for Draymond Green. Both those guys injured, KD and Draymond. KD's got the sprained MCL in the left knee, and Draymond's got this back injury that's kept him out for a while here. So, Tass, I mean, these were names on a lot of people's lists. Draymond Green was talking about DeJounte Murray when he was on the broadcast, but surprised at all with the LaMelo Ball one?
A tiny bit. Yeah. Jared Allen had gained some steam in the last few weeks. I do like the LaMelo inclusion. I know a couple of us had him on our all-star teams. It's going to be exciting seeing him flinging that ball around on the Sunday, even though he's getting in over Jared Allen, who would seem to be the next guy, who is another one of my sons this season. I love Jared Allen. And Jared Allen going from 5 years, $100 million before this season. Who is that guy to underpaid this season? He is absolutely killing it, but I'm pumped for LaMelo, and they got to get them in now. They got to get a Charlotte Hornet in now before they go sub 500 because they are losing game after game after game after game. I think it's a 5-game losing streak. And yeah, it was cool seeing him on the bench there. And DeJounte Murray, hey, a little respect to the Spurs. The Spurs exist, I guess. I mean, it seems like they've flown under the radar for years, really. So it's great to see him and his bounce back from his injury a couple of years ago.
And a reaction to these two guys?
Well, for Adam Silver, it must have been tough because I saw Raptors fans, I saw Wolves fans, I saw Suns fans all saying, oh, where's the respect for our guy? Yeah. You know, whether it's Bridges or Anthony Edwards or Siakam. So it was tough no matter who he chose. I think Jared Allen on the whole season is more deserving, but I'm certainly not upset that LaMelo Ball's in. He would have been probably right behind Jared Allen for me in the Eastern Conference for guys getting in. So a little surprised because it's in Cleveland. He didn't go Jared Allen first. Maybe there'll be another spot anyway here, depending on Kevin Durant and one or two other guys there. And I think Jared Allen's a near lock to get that spot. But LaMelo Ball should be fun. He'll be entertaining. And it's good to see a Charlotte Hornet in there.
Yeah, I think some people maybe were surprised that Commissioner Silver in the league went with two more guards in place of two forwards,
right?
KD and Draymond Green. That part, they usually, I didn't go crunch the numbers and look at every All-Star replacement, but it feels like if a forward goes out, they sort of replace it with a forward player. If a guard goes out, they replace it with another guard player, but not in this case, Trey.
Like for like is what I was expecting, especially with the game being in Cleveland. So to me, Jared Allen, he's a dub snub. Snubbed twice. No other way to say it. You could just say he was snubbed twice, which would be smart. Anyways, it's hard to be mad at putting LaMelo in the All-Star game. Like, it's going to be just fun to watch him. I assume he will make numerous appearances throughout the course of his career. And as we saw with Rudy Gobert in the past, it took him a while to actually make his first All-Star team. So Jared Allen will get there eventually. It just felt like this was the perfect time for him, especially after having a great weekend. 20 rebounds followed by 17 rebounds. Looked like he was going to be getting that All-Star replacement spot. And I'm really happy to see DeJounte Murray make it, because I just thought that that Adam Silver would go with Anthony Davis, a huge name, a longtime All-Star. But this is nice to throw a little bone to the Spurs, because Murray's been incredible this year. 19-9-8, almost a triple-double. He's been an All-Star, so cool that he's actually getting in the game.
And I wonder how much it factored in to have two more franchises represented in the All-Star game rather than a second Cav or a second Laker.
What is this, baseball?
Well, spread out the picks.
I'm happy Anthony Davis didn't get there. And to be honest, you know, it's... He just had it in a subpar year. And as the players had him, what? They had him way down in terms of forwards, in terms of what they voted. So, yeah, it's great to get a Spur in there. It just seems like only the diehards really, really, really are watching the Spurs over the last few years.
The only other news from this is that the league announced that Jason Tatum will take Durant's place as a starter because of where he landed in terms of votes. That's how they ultimately end up deciding that. So the fan vote, I believe, comes into play there. So Tatum's in. He'll be in that the starter pool when we get to LeBron and KD, who's still going to draft. He says his squad here, even though he's not playing in the game. That will, I think, happening on Thursday, if I have that right. Okay, let's get to last night's games. Five. We'll touch on all five of them. Booker scores 38, Trey, as the NBA best Phoenix Suns. Hang on to beat the Bulls 127-124. A very deceiving final score.
What? Deceiving 3-point game. This was close. The Bulls had a chance to win this one here down in the final couple of minutes. Just kidding. The Suns completely outclassed the Bulls in this one. Devin Booker was on fire, especially in the first half. He finished with 38 points, added 4 rebounds, 5 assists, was 14 of 23 shooting. He could have been an even better shooting because he was just gunning for 40 at the end, which, you know, respect to him. Chris Paul went for 19 and 11. It was basically when Devin Booker wasn't taken over, Chris Paul was taken over. Every other starter for Phoenix was in double figures. JaVale McGee gave him 16 points off the bench. He dominated the second quarter. He hit a 3-pointer. It was the JaVale show out there. Jay Crowder had a double-double. As for the Bulls, they got 38 from DeRozan. Zach LaVine was back in the lineup. He looked pretty good, 32 points. When they're playing, they're going to be in games because DeRozan and LaVine, they can just score. But right now, with no Lonzo, no Caruso, it basically comes down to trading buckets, and you're not going to beat the Suns trading buckets in the fourth quarter, especially for the Bulls. This was their fourth game in 5 nights coming off that loss on, I guess, Sunday against the 76ers, where Joel Embiid put up a whole bunch of points. Couple of funny number notes here. You mentioned it, Skeets. This ended up being a close game because the teams emptied their bench. Malcolm Hill checked in with a minute 41 left and scored 8 points, and he was just like knocking down threes. And Devin Booker, like I said, he finished with 38. He missed his last two shots, which would have given him 40 points, obviously. That would have been three straight games that the Bulls allowed a 40-point score. Whoa. LeVert, Embiid, and then 38 for Booker. So, yeah, not great for the Bulls, but what do you expect? You're playing against the Suns. They don't mess around. They always take care of business.
Mm. Yeah, and this was crazy because it was our pick'em game. And I have to admit, I was like, oh, Tass finally got a win here in February. They were up 15 with like a couple minutes left. I'm like, okay, nice cover there by the Suns. That was a dumb pick by me and Trey. No, they end up covering. But anyway,
It was a very impressive performance here from the Suns. And they had the rest advantage going in. Trey mentioned the 4 and 5 nights. And also, you saw, and against Philadelphia as well, Vucci okay offensively. He can sort of spread them out a little bit, but defensively he looked really outclassed last night because you can throw those lobs to Ayton, and then JaVale comes in and he's a long guy as well. I really like though Adam Amin. I've got to give him so much respect because when JaVale McGee stepped into that three, he knew his career three-pointers made and attempted in that moment. He's carrying around JaVale McGee's career three-point makes in his head.
You might have it in front of him on a computer.
But, I mean, in that moment, you can't be like, oh, he's going to shoot a three. I've got to quickly check on Basketball Reference. So that was just mind-blowing to me.
Somebody doing some preparation. It's crazy.
But come on. Who's prepping JaVale McGee's career three-point shooting? Anyway, and the other thing was Devin Booker hit a nice three and he left it hanging and he said a real Sidney Dean look there from Devin Booker. So he had it all going last night. But yeah, when it's technically a blowout, I guess you've got to find other things to talk about. But yeah, super impressive here from Phoenix. You know, they obviously don't care about the cover. They just got a very good win against a good team.
Yeah, they are now 43-10, Tass. The Phoenix Suns, still the best team in the league, like I said.
Yes, and still not the NBA favorite to win the championship. Don't gamble. Well, put some money on the Suns. I mean, don't gamble when you're this is a case in point, this basketball game, which was crazy. The 6.5-point line at the end of the game. The Suns just kind of got out of the way. They obviously had their bench players on, and they just did the math. They didn't foul or anything. They just knew, okay, this team, the Bulls are going to hit a three or a two every possession. We still can't lose. No fouling, no worries. But they covered, obviously, so don't gamble. Also, you know, the Suns are still third or fourth favorites, whatever they are. I saw a plus 1,500 out there for the Suns.
Wow.
It is a little crazy for us watching this team at 43-10. And you look at every other team out there that has some issues. Every team in the Eastern Conference. There's a hole in every team in the Eastern Conference. The Warriors' injuries, we'll get to those. There's a couple there that are minor. The Suns are extremely healthy. It's a little bit of a flashback to last year when they were the healthier bunch going up against every team that they played against. So there isn't a lot of money on the Suns, I suppose, because they don't have that star power for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it's the point in the season where people don't bet on their championship favorites quite yet. Whatever the reason, it's there some good odds, some real good odds out there, but don't gamble.
You talked about Suns fans maybe being upset that Mikal Bridges wasn't the injury replacement for Draymond Green. What they should really be upset with is you for not having Cam Johnson on your three-point team, you know, part of the field there that we'll see at All-Star Weekend. Because he hit, you know, another 2 for 5 last night. This guy is, like, one of the leaders when it comes to three-point efficiency. And he takes enough, too. Yeah. It's not like we're taking, like, one or two a game here.
43%, I believe.
Man.
And 2.5 a game, yeah.
Get him in there.
Lee wants star powers.
I know. But he wants Kelly Oubre Jr. over Cam Johnson.
Didn't Oubre go 0 for 8 from 3 last night?
Yeah.
Too low, too.
Listen, well, okay, then I don't want the lefties coming at me saying, oh, you know, we've got to get a lefty.
The lefties coming at you. Easy, Ned Flanders.
Oh, man.
All right. Our next game from last night, Siakam. Yeah, he should be an all-star too. And the Raptors beat the Hornets 116-101 for their sixth straight victory. Tass, what'd you take away from this one?
Saw you tweeting about it, Skeets. Who says the Raptors can't win this thing? They're in sixth now. They're 4.5 out of first. Again, a lot of question marks with the Eastern Conference teams. Pascal Siakam, you mentioned him.
Guy's on fire.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to forget because of the wild 2 years that the Raptors have had since they won the championship that this guy was a big-time player on the championship team along with Fred VanVleet. And I say that because when they played the Hornets yesterday, every time the Hornets were looking to push, the Raptors just shut the door. And that's a championship team. And those two guys were leaders on that team. And I know Fred's in a totally different role with Kyle Lowry. Was his, obviously, the guy in front of him. But he's learned so much. Pascal looks like he's learned so much those two guys, along with Gary Trent and OG Anunoby, had over 20 points in this game. Four guys over 20 for the fourth time this season. Mm-hmm. Hasn't happened a lot in Raptors history. Two was the most in a season for four guys to score 20 points. So they are doing it together. They are quite the ensemble. And those dudes, those four guys, if you add to that at the trade deadline, we'll get to the Raptors' possibilities of making a trade a little bit later on. They get a fifth. They get a sixth guy off the bench. Who knows what happens in this Eastern Conference? Because it's looking like it's anybody's game in the Eastern Conference right now.
You brought up trades. Lee turning his computer to me to show me we might have some breaking news here. What's the deal here?
According to Woj, the Blazers and the Pelicans are in serious discussions on a trade centered on CJ McCollum.
I'm just saying the CJ McCollum part.
Yeah, of course.
People are like, we got a semi-Woj bomb here. Yeah. The guys, their teams are talking during trade deadline?
Okay, there's been an update already. Shams has got it. He's saying they're finalizing a deal to acquire CJ McCollum to the Pelicans for Josh Hart and draft compensation.
Wow. There we go. Galaxy brain thinking for the Blazers. Yeah. Let the Pelicans really pass there here, even though they already have. All right. This is fun. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later in the show. We'll go back to the games. Mm. Anything from the Raptors victory or the Hornets? Did you watch this one?
Yes, I did. Yeah. The Raptors, again, that top, you talk about it. They're five best.
They can hang with anyone.
They can. And again, Siakam is just on it. I don't know what he did, but in the recent times, he's just been playing so much better. He's so confident with the ball, which I think was just missing from his game for a long time.
And they're saying you're the playmaker. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, he's basically their point guard.
He's going into the paint. He's getting to his spot. He's shooting with confidence. He's got all that sort of stuff that it's like, where was that for a good season or so there? The only minor sort of quibble I guess I'll have is they got 19 minutes out of Boucher, 15 from Achiuwa, and Banton played. I just hope that the heavy minutes on the starters doesn't catch up with them at some point. It may. But listen, they've got to win games. They've got to solidify their place in the playoffs, and they're doing that right now. And as Tass mentioned, the Hornets sort of threw a few punches there, but every time they did, the Raptors came back and basically just extended it out to that sort of double-digit area and just kept it out of reach. And Eric Collins, man, he's a fun listen. You could just feel it in his voice. He's like, man, can't get these guys tonight sort of thing. So, fun game.
Hornets were sloppy with the ball. Again, a lot of that is the Raptors' defense, but they also lost Gordon Hayward in like the first 5 or 6 minutes of this game. Did you see that, by the way? Hayward goes down under the basket, and instead of the Hornets probably calling a timeout because your guy is underneath the net, like in quite a bit of pain, they go the other way thinking they're going to take advantage of 4-on-5 basketball. I don't know why. And then Raptors get a stop. They come the other way, and Gary Trent Jr. ends up scoring and actually lands again on Gordon Hayward. And I have no idea if it actually made it any worse, but ankle injury, didn't return. LaMelo tried to take a foul. I think even Gary Trent Jr. tried to take a foul at one point, and the rest were just letting them play. Yeah. But you got to call a timeout there, Borrego. I'm sorry. It's so early in the game, too. It's like there's nothing to be gained, again, playing 4-on-5 going the way. It's just really strange. And hopefully Hayward's okay. But that's a bad loss in this game and be a brutal loss for the Hornets moving forward if he's out for any extended time here.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, this team... The Hornets have zero interest in playing defense. And I mean, that's like, you're never going to win a comeback if you can't play defense.
You got to get stops. Yeah,
you got to get stops to be able to actually pull off the comeback. Same thing that basically happened with the Bulls, right? It's like, they were scoring, but they couldn't stop the Suns from scoring. And that's the case with the Hornets right now. It's very weird to see James Borrego say postgame, our offense will be better when our defense picks up. What defense? Literally, what defense? No, they don't have a big guy who can stop anybody. LaMelo is not interested on that end, and Terry Rozier's a small guy, so they just are not going to be able to put together a defense, which, you know, that's why every game kind of feels like a pickup game when they're playing. Fun to watch, but not a serious team right now, I don't think.
It's wonderful, but the other team is wonderful to watch. I just watching Pascal, grow into what he was before. I mean, he was a great player 2 years ago. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people gave up on him. That was a flash in the pan. He's back to being incredible and taking so much pressure off Fred.
Yeah.
Because Fred had to do everything on that offense. Now Pascal is back, and now they're sharing the duties. And then OG is a third guy all of a sudden, and he's very good at that. And Gary Trent can come off any pick and fire away. He's very good at that. Then you got a rook in the fifth spot in Scotty Barnes, which is fun. But, you know, if we're going to make a real run, maybe you need another one. Maybe you need another vet in there to pay off. And Chris Boucher is playing really, really well, and they are playing more minutes off the bench, and so that's helped out.
I would say the problem for the Raptors is going to be when other teams start playing their players 40 minutes a night in the playoffs, because that's such an advantage for the Raptors when you look up and you're like, okay, we've got three guys off the bench playing for the opponents, for the Hornets, and then you look and it's like four Raptors starters. They should win every one of those minutes, so they do. Eventually, they're going to be playing against other starters and the bench, so that will be the question for the Raptors. Can their starters keep balling against other starters?
And then they are playing like it's the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, and then two teams specifically in the Eastern Conference. What happens when Siakam picks up two quick fouls against Embiid or Giannis? You know, like, that's bound to happen in a playoff game.
Those two giant guys are a problem for almost every team in the East, I would say.
But with the Raptors starting five, like, you can almost, like, pencil them in, Tass, it feels like, for, like, 80 to 90 points every game from their starting five, because these guys, like, it's like, you know, Van Vliet, Siakam, OG, you said it, Gary, he's on fire. You know, that's 80 right there. Barnes is good for 15, 10 to 15. You know, it's like you're adding up a lot of points there, and then they play defense. Just couldn't get those contributions off the bench, and Boucher has been good, like you said.
If only Kem Ok, not Kem Birch, was 3 inches taller.
Oh, don't geez, do
sorry
that.
About that.
Okay, doesn't mean we can slap the table just because we
myself in the head.
All right, the other games here. I want to fly through these because I want to get to the McCollum trade here and then all this other stuff with the buyers and sellers at the deadline. Klay Thompson, 21 points. Late threes lead the Warriors past the Thunder.
The Warriors have won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
Probably the quietest sort of 9-game win streak we've seen this season. But yeah, Klay Thompson hit some threes late, sort of almost like that that game in 2016 where Klay's hitting those daggers late. He's walking in as he's knocking down the three, leaving it hanging here. Sort of just fended off the Thunder. The Thunder kept it close. Doughty had a great putback there late, but Steph Curry also hit a deep three late to really just extend this one. Pretty good effort from the Thunder, but never really felt like they were going to win this one.
I don't like you adding a Y to Dort. I really don't. I got to say it.
Brad Doherty.
I mean, yeah, Chris Duarte. Doherty.
I can't help it, Doherty.
Like, the best name as it is.
Dort.
Lude's Dort.
Too short.
No, it's perfect. You don't need a Y on that one. Short. I know you add it to everything. Yeah, Clay, pretty special there. Nine in a row. It has gone a little under the radar. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because the Suns are still winning, too, a majority of their games, and the Warriors are, like, just still, like, that couple games back from them. I don't know what it is. I haven't been paying all that close attention, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, they don't have Draymond Green right now, so it's pretty weird to see the Warriors stretching out this win streak here. He's obviously their best defensive player. He kind of organizes everything on that end, and he makes things a lot easier for Stephen Curry as well. He's such a great passer offensively. So it's been cool to see Steph kind of change his game midway through the season. Once Draymond went out, he's been a lot more of a playmaker. He was like 30 points per game up until Draymond... You know, like 30 points, 5 assists a game up until Draymond went out. Since then, it's like 23-9. That's two different styles of play right there, but obviously both very effective. As for Dort, there's going to be another Dort in the NBA pretty soon. There's a Lee Dort. Lee and Lou Dort. Can't wait. I also think it's funny, Lee, that you bring up the Klay Thompson game from, obviously, 2016. That was a game 7, right?
When game, he
was
six,
off. Oh, game 6. Yeah. Game 6. Everybody was bringing it up on Twitter last night. So Klay got asked about it afterwards in post game. He's like, I didn't think about that at all. That was a long time ago. I didn't think about that at all, but it's a very treasured memory for me.
Thank you, Captain. All right, two other games. Anything to add to that one, to the Warriors win?
Well, there was that possession where the Thunder got 5 offensive rebounds, and it showed that the Warriors have some size problems, especially without Draymond Green in there, and maybe they make a move for a big afterward, because Andre Iguodala came back in this game off their bench after missing 8 games, and he went out with a back problem. Draymond Green's got back issues, so maybe we'll get to it. We'll get to possible trade partners for that, because they are tiny. You know, Draymond Green is undersized. Kevon Looney's been great, but they don't really have a backup center, so maybe they make a move, but probably not. We'll talk about it.
Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler lead the Heat to the 121-100 win over the Wizards. Blowout, Washington, blow them up.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. 29 other GMs. Take a look at that Wizards roster. Vet after vet after vet to help you on your team right here, right now. There's so many. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, champ, starter on that Lakers team. Led them in 3-pointers that playoff run, which is wild to think about. Kuzma, he did some things on that team as well, winning the championship. Aaron Holiday. Skeet, you like Aaron Holiday? Oh, you like Justin Holiday.
I like all the Holidays.
You like all the Holidays. Maybe you can fool another GM to thinking you're trading for Justin Holiday. But Aaron Holiday. Spencer Dinwiddie. He knows the future. I don't know. They got guys. They have guys on that team that you can trade for. So there's.
Do you think everybody's basically available?
Yeah, which there's got to be some guys who aren't available. The Youngs are all, I guess they're all available. Rui and Denny. Calling by their first name.
Gafford's untouchable.
Don't touch Gafford.
I mean, it was a sticky, promising season. The Wizards, I think, had hopes on finishing in that top six, and now they're outside of the play-in tournament, only by a game to Atlanta Hawks. But I guess they have to pick a route as well here. Are they saying, all right, let's see if we can get something for Kuz? And, you know, I believe as well, I saw on Twitter last night, I think it was Chase Hughes who had it first. Bradley Beal's management was apparently meeting with the Wizards front office. Does that mean anything? We'll find out, I guess, in the next 48 hours. Yeah. I doubt it. I don't think he's getting traded with such short notice. But obviously, if the Wizards, they may as well cash in something they've got right now, because they looked like they were going to be a surprise team this season. And they were, but it's really fallen off recently.
Mm. And I forgot to slip this in the other day. I guess it was yesterday. That Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat coaching staff will be coaching Kevin Durant's team during the All-Star game. The Bulls loss, I guess, sealed the deal the other night against the Sixers on Sunday, if I have that right.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
I got Kevin Durant's going to be coaching too, I guess. He's not playing. Does he have to sit on the sideline and be part of the team?
He should ditch out. He should go on vacation.
Just
if
draft
you're not
the
playing,
team
go
and then
somewhere else. Draft and say, I will catch you in the streams.
Mm, yeah. We'll see what he does. But he is a basketball sicko. He really is. So
that guy is a basketball sicko. Yeah. He would love to be around the balls bouncing on the court there.
And just, you know, with the Heat, Lowry, as I see Lowry back, he's playing 30 minutes a game, you know, doing Lowry things there, just efficient numbers, mm-hmm. you know, not lighting up the box score by any means, but just being the table setter there for the Miami Heat. Obviously a great team. They were good without him. They were good without, like, all of their guys at points this year. And now, well, here you have Bam. You got Jimmy. You got Kyle. Obviously, Duncan Robinson's got it going a little bit. He hit 4 threes last night. And then PJ Tucker as your starting five there.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough, tough team to beat.
But I think it is huge for them to have Lowry, even though he's a little bit older, because guys can fill in, but no one can sort of set them up the way that he does consistently. So,
and defensively still,
So he may not be their best player. You know, maybe it's Jimmy or Bam, whoever you want to choose out of those two. But as far as getting them going, I think he is such a critical piece for them, especially in the playoffs. I mean, Lowry has delivered in the playoffs. He had a bit of a rough start there with Toronto, but by the end of his time there, he was legit stud. And they need that guy. They need him because they just look completely different, I think, without him.
You should add a Y to Lowry's name.
Kylie Lowry.
Or that. The final game from last night, Donovan Mitchell nets 32 points as the Jazz rally past the Knicks for their third straight victory. Nice to see Donovan Mitchell sort of back here. I know this was his second game back from concussion protocols. He had missed a lot of time. He was awesome. 32, 7, 6. Also had 4 steals. Played a lot of minutes. He looked tired by the end of it. He said he was. The play of the game, though, an offensive rebound from Donovan Mitchell. This was huge. The Jazz were up 1 with about 4 minutes to go. Donovan made a nice pass, like leaping sort of over the top, skip pass to Mike Conley on the other side. He lets the 3 go. He misses it, and Donovan, because he's on the other side of the court still, where he passed it from, just leaps over Mitchell Robinson, who's obviously a great rebounder and was a great rebounder in this game, and we'll get to that footage in a second, but Mitchell just straight up jumped over him, grabbed it, and then had the wherewithal right away to find Azubuike just underneath underneath the rim for a quick score. And he just, like, sealed the deal, Donovan Mitchell did. And I thought the Knicks had chances, too. They were missing free throws, bad turnovers. An abysmal fourth quarter, if we're being honest, for New York. They went 5 of 20 in the final 12 minutes and committed 6 turnovers. So they're now 24-30 on the season, and they're 0-2 here on this little road trip as we get to the All-Star break. But it's just like, oh yeah, the Jazz are awesome when Donovan Mitchell plays. They're just such a better team, and this is still without Rudy. So nice to have them sort of, like, they're going to get their guys back here, and they're going to be, you know, a title contender, I think. They'll be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be, because we just know this team, and we know that they're a good defensive team, they're a very good offensive team, but they have really dropped with those two guys out. Right now, they do sit fourth, still 2.5 games back at the Grizzlies, so will they have that little second half surge? I mean, can the Grizzlies keep up this as well? Like, for everything they've done so far has been great, but that close stretch of the season is going to be tough, because the experienced team of the Jazz, you just feel, are going to be better. They're going to sort of correct their issues. And again, when everybody's healthy, obviously Jingles is gone for the season for them. But I think when Rudy's back and Donovan playing at this level, then the Jazz would certainly like to get up into that top three.
They're the best offense in the league right now, but the defense, without Rudy being there for last, what, seven games or so, six or seven games, you know, they've fallen down to 13th. It hasn't been that great on that end, so they'll try and get that up to top 10.
Yeah, and they got helped out by a man named Udoka Azubuike.
Yeah.
It's great to have another Azubuike in the league. Kelena was good. Udoka's a great name. Three straight games, double-digit rebounds. He had 14 boards to help out. So, yeah, they're shoring up the Gobert absence right now. I thought the play of the game, though, was Julius Randle not shooting the ball with 110 left on
that
really open look. It's just the Knicks are... I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 48 hours because our man Fred Katz at The Athletic points out the next like 13 games on their schedule, they are probably the underdog in for most of them, like 12 of the next 13. So it's a little scary what's going to happen to that team. But yeah, you got to believe in the Jazz, and it was great to hear Joe Ingles on the call. Mm. He was in the booth. He's got a future as a talkity talk. As one of us talking heads. If he wants it, I don't know. He doesn't seem like he really cares. He's just like. Yeah. I don't know. He's got better things to do.
Right, right. Sort of Clay-like. Clay's like, I'll do it every once in a while. Yeah, yeah. He's great at it, but you're like, I don't want to do this every day.
he's a big coffee drinker, Joe, and I saw on Twitter people are saying, well, now you got time. Why don't you start your own shop, roast your own beans? And he's like, maybe I will. So maybe that's his future.
But he said he's not retiring.
No, I know. He's definitely not retiring. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, there was an article with Tim McMahon. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it, he basically said, like, people thought I was dead after the injury. Like, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be stronger and I hope to continue playing in the NBA.
Just had all those beans coursing through him. I said Donovan Mitchell had a huge offensive rebound late, which he did. It was an awesome, awesome board. And then, like I said, a little pass. But Mitchell Robinson put on a show, at least when it comes to the big beef there, TK.
That's exactly right. Big games for both Mitchells, Donovan and Robinson. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Mitchell Robinson had 21 rebounds.
Bing bong!
That's a lot of roast beef. Which is
bing bong!
Oh, yeah. That hits.
The double bing bong. 21 boards for Mitchell Robinson. His second big beef of his career. Do you remember his first one?
Oh, it was like first year.
First year, rookie year.
Good call.
Against the...
Raptors.
Toronto Raptors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, 21 rebounds, that's good.
Yeah.
It's because the Knicks missed a lot of shots. 10 of those were offensive rebounds. They need a point guard, basically. They need somebody who can handle the ball, because when you have more turnovers than shots made in the fourth quarter, that's not good. But this is an impressive beef, because those are some huge dudes out there.
Mm.
I like that a lot of teams like to have a variety in their centers, right? They're like, we'll have our huge guy, and then we'll have our quick guy, and then we'll have our shooting guy. The Jazz are like, we've got Rudy Gobert. So we're getting two more Rudy Goberts in Hassan Whiteside and Azubuike. They're like, we'll just find the biggest guys we can.
Right.
And it works for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Robinson was battling down there. That's a big guy. He looks like the most tired dude of all time when he's playing. Like, he just looks like, but he plays hard, and he was getting after
he
it.
He looked tired when he clanked two free throws.
Yeah,
like, that was like a three-point game. I think. Oh, those were bad.
He's got the old... sort of a knuckleball three-point shot there. Like, just sort of goes flat.
Right,
and you hope it goes in. But his conditioning is something the Knicks have been trying to work on with him, because he's a young guy. He shouldn't be so gassed as often as he is, because I think he's very important to what they do, just his presence. But he's got to be able to stay on the court and be contributing the whole game.
All right, well, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll get to this breaking news with CJ McCollum, maybe, I guess, headed to the Pelicans for Josh Hart and draft compensations. And then we'll look at other teams, especially the elite teams in both conferences, and decide whether or not they'll be buyers or sellers here in the 48 hours leading up to the trade deadline.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, well, let's get to the reported deal here. Shams Charania of The Athletic saying the Pelicans are finalizing a trade to acquire Blazers guard CJ McCollum for a package around Josh Hart and draft compensation. I don't know if there's any tweets following that, but that's what I have, Tass, so I throw it at you. Hart and some sort of draft picks to the Blazers in exchange for CJ McCollum. What do you think?
This has to mean that Damian Lillard is next to me. This has to be a full teardown. It has to be. Damian Lillard, a few weeks ago, was talking about not wanting to come back to the Blazers this season if they were playing for a draft pick. They just traded their two best players beside him. No disrespect to Yusuf Nurkic, but they just traded Norman Powell and they just traded CJ McCollum. This has to mean a full teardown. And for the Blazers, I'm sure they're looking at this trade and thinking, couldn't we get more? I'm not sure of the actual the draft compensation coming back, but it feels a lot like the Orlando Magic scenario last year where they traded Aaron Gordon, they traded Vucevic, they let go of Fournier. And yes, it hasn't been a fruitful season for the Orlando Magic, but they got a lot of picks. And if that's the scenario for the Portland Trailblazers, in addition to what I think they're going to get for Damian Lillard, I don't know if you guys agree, but they have to be trading Dame.
Why exactly?
Why? Because he's not going to want to be there. He's 32. What kind of team are they going to have around Dame for the next few years?
I think he wants to be there to get that huge contract. I think that that's Damian Lillard will stick around until he signs that gigantic super duper max after being a 10-year veteran, and then that's when we'll be talking about trades. Woj is reporting there's optimism a deal will be completed, perhaps as soon as today, but there's still work to be done to reach an agreement. So we shall see what these draft picks
are. Yeah, that's what they're deciding here.
Yeah, exactly.
How many and
The Pelicans have a ton of draft picks to trade from the Jrue Holiday trade, from the Anthony Davis trade. So they've got a lot of stuff to throw into the mix here. So I agree that, I mean, the team's not going to be as good. Damian Lillard is not going to come back this year. The Blazers are going to try for a top five pick, and then maybe you can take your top five pick alongside whatever they're getting from the Pelicans, and then you make a move to bring in a veteran alongside Damian Lillard. I don't think it's necessarily the end, but you can definitely see a pathway towards it.
What do you think, Lee?
Well, I'm just trying to look at some of the most salivating picks that the Blazers might want here. And according to this, to Pro Sports Transactions, you know, there's an unprotected pick from the Lakers in 2022 there. So, you know, I would say the Blazers are saying, we want that. We want unprotected, probably multiple firsts as well with CJ McCollum.
You would think so.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left at about $68 million on his contract. He's still he's an all-star fringe player at his best, no doubt about it. So you would have to think, for me, the Blazers are saying, yeah, we want all this draft assets because that's our direction. And whether or not they choose to move on from Damian Lillard, we'll obviously find out. But I think they have chosen a path. They've gotten away from the Norm Powell contract. They got a default draft pick out of that. But really, I think they're just trying to acquire all those and start the rebuild. That's what it would seem like to me. It's just whether or not the Pelicans are prepared to give up an unprotected pick, which you would think they would probably want to hang on to. They would want others, you would think, that have got not quite as potentially valuable, because if it's unprotected, of course, that could be the number one pick, and you don't want to give up that.
Yeah, last year, the Magic were able to get an unprotected pick from the Bulls and then a top four protected. You know, for Vooch.
Yeah.
That seems to be that's always the benchmark when people talk about trades this year. That's what every GM is striving for. A couple of those picks, and you're never going to get two unprotected. But if one is unprotected, they end up getting Franz Wagner with one of those picks, and then the top four down the line. That's probably what they're yearning for, and that's not bad.
Right.
That's not bad if they can get that for CJ McCollum.
We understand. I mean, we think we understand what the Blazers are doing here, which is like be bad this season at the very least, then figure out what the hell you're doing with Damian Lillard.
This side's interesting.
But what about the Pelican side of things here? I mean, they're getting a guy. I mean, McCollum has not had a great year. But this is a guy that we had on the All-Star snubs list for like 3 years running. Mm-hmm. And injuries was a big part of it. The one year that he didn't make it, I think he was averaging like 23, 24 a game. But the Pelicans, you know, in the play-in here, Tass, Ingram balling out. They're seeing what, just an opportunity to strike here and get like some scoring in the backcourt to then hopefully add Zion Williamson at some point this season, and you maybe have yourself a decent little squad. What do you think?
Yeah, glass half full. You're playing with Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, Jonas Valanciunas.
That's, yeah.
No, not Jonas Valanciunas. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still there, yeah.
Herb Jones will be the last member of their starting lineup, according to StatMuse.
Are they going for it too soon is the question. With, you know, an older player. It's a move that David Griffin is... I guess needs to do around Zion Williamson to make him happy with the way that this first 6 months of the season has gone. I expect Zion to come back, and then this is a legitimately solid team for sure with CJ McCollum there.
What do you think about CJ to New Orleans?
I think adding another guy who can score like that is important, because otherwise it is a Devontae Graham or a Herb or a Alexander Walker, nowhere near as convincing as someone like CJ, who can take a little bit of the weight off Brandon Ingram. And I think it is also just an indication to Zion, like, we aren't trying to tank. We are trying to compete. We're trying to get at least some show you that, like, we're trying to get into the play-in tournament and maybe the playoffs this season. Whether or not Zion plays or not, I think it's more important to show him that we're not just sort of letting this season fall away. So I think it'd be a good move. I said that at the start of the season, I thought it was a completely lost season here for the Pelicans, but they really have shown some resistance to get into this position they're in now. And when you consider the teams below them in the standings, they should feel that the play-in tournament is absolutely in play here for them.
I guess if you look at it, if Zion Williamson is coming back, okay. Okay, this feels good. We got CJ McCollum in our lineup. But if Zion is on some trajectory where he's not coming back this season and you don't know what kind of Zion you're getting, then you're giving up draft picks for sort of being a mediocre team in the short term, I guess. But I guess this means that they really believe Zion's coming back. And that seems to be the vibe around the team.
Well, even if he doesn't come back this year, he should be back for next season.
Hope so.
With an entire year of rest, and the Pelicans might make the play-in tournament even if Zion doesn't come back. They've been good, 19-19 since that terrible 1-12 start. Brandon Ingram, you're starting to see some. Was this guy snubbed for the All-Star replacement cases?
Yeah.
On the internet there. So, yeah, I think this actually helps. McCollum has been knocking on the door of the All-Star. He's going to be one of those guys that we're always talking about. Is he one of the greatest to never make an All-Star game? And I think that's going to be the case. But he's certainly going to be helpful. Ingram, Valanciunas, and CJ McCollum, all three of those guys, completely different games, but also very similar in that they're going to take up a lot of possessions. They're going to shoot the ball almost every time they touch it, but that helps. So the Pelicans are going to be able to make the playoffs here, and then next season you've got a decent little core there in Ingram, Valanciunas, Zion, and now CJ McCollum. They've got the third lowest payroll in the league this year. They've got all these picks left over. This is a pretty smart move, especially because McCollum's contract ends the same season as Zion's, when you're going to need a lot of money coming off the books so you can sign him to as an extension.
Would there have to be more players going back to Portland here? Because, you know, McCollum does make $30 million a year, and Josh Hart's like 12, 13. So,
according to Shams, it is Nikolai Alexander-Walker and Thomas Satoransky.
Whoa!
Going. Yeah. And draft compensation, he hasn't clarified exactly what that is. So,
okay.
I'm guessing that is what's the holding it up for it to be confirmed anyway.
Okay. Wow, okay, this is a little different now with Nikhil Alexander-Walker being the young player, the young prospect that has shown flashes already in the league. You know, I'm high on him. Had him for most improved, for crying out loud. and he is Canadian, of course. But okay. So yeah, Blazers. So now what? The fascinating part with the Lillard, now they have like two really young guards in Anthony Simons and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And
reportedly, yes.
Yeah, reportedly. This
game's changing, but
yeah,
yes.
But more players have to be going back. I mean,
For the numbers to work.
Yeah.
That would mean to me that this is a teardown at some point. But I'm with yesterday when they made the deal for Norman Powell. I guess it was a couple days, or it was Friday now. That I thought, yeah, maybe this could be a quick retool draft pick room for Norman Powell's contract that just got booted. Maybe you sign a free agent with that. Maybe we retool, get real bad, and get a draft pick. But now you're trading CJ McCollum. I mean, Dame's just going to chill and say, I don't know, a couple of years. And then we'll be good. I doubt it. I mean, he's been riding this for a long time. But, yeah, We'll find out the package, and we'll make another video.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're learning this on the fly, so apologies maybe to people listening later or watching later going, that's not the deal. What the hell are you guys talking about? As of right now, we are hearing it's Hart, Satoransky, and then Nikhil Alexander-Walker for CJ McCollum.
Yes.
Did you throw it in the trade machine? Does it work?
No.
That would make sense contract-wise, I think. And then draft compensation go into Portland as well. Okay. All right. Are we going to be doing an emergency podcast somehow about something we already talked about? That's a weird one.
Absolutely, because the content. Things are going to be finalized. I would say nah, because that's Nikhil Alexander-Walker's initials.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I didn't mind it.
Sucks. Yeah. Is there somebody named YAH? The acronym YAH? Initials? No. Because we're going to be doing another video.
Okay, content, baby. All right. We got this new table. We got to work it in. Okay, so I want to get to this. February 10th, last day to make trades in the NBA. Everybody knows that. Zach Harper, he noted... That means it's time for every team to look in the mirror. And he's absolutely right, because you got to decide whether you're a buyer or a seller here at the trade deadline. And what does that mean? I wanted to break that down. Buyer to me means a team that feels they're like a piece away from like a late season turnaround to become a playoff team to maybe be a title contender, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking for that one or two players to really take you to the next level, whatever that level may be. That's a buyer. Seller, on the other hand, like the Blazers, it's looking like, looking towards the future,
mm-hmm.
moving players in exchange for young talent, draft capital, cap relief. So I thought we're not going to go through every team here because we don't have that much time, and now we got to make a second video. but I thought it'd be fun to just look at the elite teams, like the top six teams in each conference, and we can just split them up, and each guy could sort of address it, and then we can debate whether we agree or not. So my only two questions with each squad, and we'll start in the Western Conference, is are they a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline, in your opinion? And then who could they potentially move? Maybe you even have a deal in mind if you were really doing your homework last night. But the main question is, what are they doing? Buying or selling? Trey, start with the Phoenix Suns. You go first.
Well, you're going to hate me, Skeets, because I don't know if this makes them a buyer or a seller. Because I think the Phoenix Suns have their team. They've got their 9-man rotation. They know how they play.
Yep.
They're pretty much the same team as last year, adding JaVale McGee. They're good. Like, they don't need any more pieces. But they've still got some moves they could make. The Suns currently have 6 centers on their roster.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton, JaVale McGee, lock them in. They'll be playing in the playoffs. Then they've got Bismack Biyombo and Jalen Smith and Frank Kaminsky and Dario Saric.
Wow.
Kaminsky and Saric are out right now. They've needed all 4 of those last guys. Saric played last year, but they're not going to need all of them in the playoffs. So to me, I would like to see them take 2 of those centers and flip them into a different center. How about Dario Saric and Jalen Smith to the Spurs for Thaddeus Young?
Yeah.
Dario Saric not going to be playing this year. Thaddeus Young, a Dario Saric kind of player. He could be their small ball 5, give him a little bit different look. His contract expires at the end of this year. He's on a $15 million deal. The Suns, they owe a first rounder to OKC this summer, but they got a lot of picks they could trade, so maybe they sweeten the deal a little bit for the Spurs. I think it does make it a little tough for the Spurs to re-sign Jalen Smith, so maybe they would want Frank Kaminsky and then be able to trade him or waive him or something like that. But I do think that the Suns have a bunch of flotsam floating around on their payroll right now that they could turn into somebody who helps them come playoff time.
Okay. So, yeah, sort of a buyer, but I hear what you're saying. It's sort of a neither, like you're saying. Like, they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah. They don't need to make a move, but they could get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thaddeus Young, if you've got him on the bench, great. Thaddeus, he was great for Chicago. You know, he can facilitate. He's a veteran. He's just been around, and those other guys haven't really played. And so if you can, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. But it's really just the rich getting richer in that sense.
Yeah, okay.
I know the Spurs don't like making trades, but that has to be a trade. That's a name that was floated a couple months ago, then mm-hmm. we kind of forgot about him. He's kind of like an Eric Gordon, you know, that does great veteran stuff. He's got to get moved. I doubt it's the Suns because some other team will offer him maybe a little more, definitely a bigger role than the Suns have.
True.
But he's got to get moved, and the Spurs are going to be forced to make a deal. It feels like, get an asset for him. Why not?
All right, Tass, the Warriors, buyers or sellers, or I guess neither here at the deadline.
Yeah, they have a bigger need than the Phoenix Suns. They big is the actual word. They need a backup center just for insurance. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green's got back problems. He is the guy that's going to play down the stretch, of course, at the 4. Kevon Looney has been incredible for them starting, but James Wiseman has not played a minute this year, and if he was there, then there would be no issue, I think, if he got some reps in. But it's looking a little bit more unlikely he's going to contribute to a playoff team, whether he comes back or not. They would love three-time NBA champion JaVale McGee on their roster this season. They would just love to have him there. But I don't see them making a move because they've got 15 guys. They're all locked up, every single one. The guys that they could move, want to scan Anderson, I suppose, maybe Damian Lee for a cheap center. But I think they're going to roll with what they got. And I think it's a bit worrisome. Again, back problems for Draymond Green. Iguodala came back yesterday after missing 8 games. He left the game early. More back problems. He's 38 years old. So when you look at their bench, number one, it's tiny. Number two, it's young. It's very young. And it's a bit worrisome, but I think they stick with it. They do have a need. Marc Gasol said he's not fully retired, playing with Girona in Spain. I mean, he could be a Warrior for sure. But I don't know. They also are like, oh, whatever it is, $1 billion gajillion to the luxury tax. So that, you know, is a bit of an issue for them, even though they should be playing. But they got Klay Thompson playing, so this is like even better at this point. So I think they're going to roll with their 15 and think that they got a shot against anybody. But I do think injuries are a bit of a worry with
right.
that team.
Do you think they'll stay pat here?
I think so. Maybe a little around the fringes there. But when Klay coming back was their biggest acquisition.
Right.
And they've got still plenty of games here to play him into game shape. He started to show little glimpses of that. If he can find his real rhythm and momentum come April, which is, I guess, what, 2 months away now before the playoffs, that to me, when you've got Draymond healthy, Steph obviously healthy, and Klay, they're as good as anybody else.
Okay. Tass, back to you here. Grizzlies, buyers or sellers?
This is an interesting one because I think they're both. I think they could go in either direction.
Okay.
Like before this year, they were willing to trade Jonas Valanciunas and kind of take a lateral step because they didn't see Jonas in their long-term plans. I could see them trading Dylan Brooks because even though he's solid, guy could win you a playoff series with his defense. He could literally shut somebody down. But with the growth of Desmond Bain as sort of their secondary off-ball shooter, Dylan Brooks kind of is the same guy. And he played 20 minutes in this, 20 games to start this season. He went out. Mm-hmm. And then Desmond Bain just took on this new role. And Dylan Brooks likes his shots. And I don't know if those shots are going to be there. Now, he could come back and fit in perfectly. So maybe you may trade Dylan Brooks for somebody who is not as good, just like the Jonas Valanciunas sort of scenario. They traded him for Steven Adams. I see a KCP name out there that kind of fits really, really well with the Memphis Grizzlies as sort of a stopgap guy, not going to be there long term, but doesn't need to shoot as much, just shoots threes, won't take up that space that Desmond Bane works in the mid-range. And so I could see them trying to kind of take a lateral step, kind of sell a little bit. But also, if there's a star out there to complement Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, and Ja Morant, and they could package, whether it's Dylan Brooks or Kyle Anderson or even Steven Adams, they would do that too. So I could see them going both there. Yeah, big name, yeah. I mean, the lateral step, I could see that happening too. Kyle Anderson, I think, should be available. And I wonder this Dylan Brooks scenario, because he is a, you can never have too many wings in this league. So he's going to come back and he's going to help out and be there. But long term, I'm not sure. You're going to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. You're going to pay Desmond Bane now. He's super duper 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 cheap right now. And he's going to get a long term deal. I think he's worked himself into being a long term part of this team. But I don't know if Dylan is. I'm not sure. He seemed like it last year, but, getting on, he's... He still fits. He's still 26 years old. He's not old.
Yeah. I would love to see Dylan Brooks on the Knicks playing for Madison Square Garden. It'd be awesome. Yeah. Like John Starks 2.0 there. But what do you think? Do the Grizzlies stay put here at the deadline, or will they do something like Tass is saying?
I've got a great Grizzlies fake trade that I need to save for one of the teams I'm talking about later, but it's a really good fake trade, I think.
Okay.
It's a really good
wow,
one, and it involves Kyle Anderson. But I'm with you. I do think that they could make a move if the right thing presents itself. You're right. If you combine Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks' contracts this year, you're like almost at $22 million. You can get a solid player for that. Mm-hmm. So we shall see.
Okay. The Jazz are up next in the Western Conference as the fourth seed. I've got them as buyers. I know we've talked about this already, so we'll make it quick. Because with Joe Ingles going down, even before that, we were saying they need more perimeter defense because you got Ingles, you got Clarkson, you need somebody to help Royce O'Neal out there with those assignments. So having the number one offense in the league, that's awesome. but the 13th defense for the Utah Jazz? What? That's strange. So who can they get? Now, you got to find a defender that can also hit a shot. You know, you're looking for the classic 3-and-D guy there. I wonder, though, what we just saw the Cavs do with Ricky Rubio's expiring contract, a guy that was injured, attaching a draft pick, you know, or two really to it, to then get a player like Caris LeVert. Will the Jazz do the exact same with Joe Ingles, his expiring deal, and then some sort of draft compensation to get another player? I don't know who it is, though.
Yeah.
Is the thing, I mean, Kyle Anderson's come up before as a potential guy that you could see as a wing defender. Sort of makes sense a little bit, but I think they will be active here. I would assume they're calling a lot of teams looking for that 3-and-D guy.
It was amazing hearing Joe Ingles on the broadcast yesterday. He was kind of pining for sticking around with the Jazz, basically saying, like, I can be an asset in the locker room.
Yeah.
Don't freaking trade me. He wants to be around the guys. He came back the following day and was in the locker room. He's a great locker room guy. But he also said, you know, it's a business and maybe I am traded, you know, keeping it real on the broadcast. But he wants to stick around. Okay. You know, he wants to be there. But, yeah. It is a business, so it's a move. Like, who do you get?
Well, you can always be traded and then just come back. I mean, well, I know Rubio can.
Yeah, it's got to be 30 days.
No, I mean next season.
Right.
What do you, just quickly with the Jazz, you think they will be a buyer?
I think they have to be because they absolutely completely lose Ingles' production. So they need to find something, and they can't afford another early playoff flameout. They need to sort of show, okay, we're going for it again this season. So I think they do. I think they try to find it.
Dallas Mavericks, you're up.
Yeah, well, last two seasons, two playoff appearances, but both times they ran out of gas. They played the Clippers both times. Remember last season they led 2-0, they led 3-2, and they couldn't win on the they couldn't win game 7 on the road in LA. So their biggest problem is Porzingis, because in the playoffs last season, he averaged 13 points and 5 rebounds against the Clippers. Not good enough there. Luka, we know he's fantastic. So I think the Mavericks need another ball handler distributor, I think, to go play alongside Lucas, so someone can take a little bit of the weight off his shoulders. And I think they also need another big, and I think they need another scorer as well with Tim Hardaway going down. So
otherwise.
otherwise they're fine. But like Dwight Powell is kind of like their big right now. So I think someone like Dragic could be had, even though that might be a bit of a Band-Aid solution, but I think that's something to help them out there. I think Eric Gordon could be had for them. Now, not quite the sort of playmaker, but a guy who can at least score so that Luka can be like, all right, I know this guy can shoot. He's having a good season too there in Houston. I think the Rockets would be prepared to give up him. And then if they can somehow also maybe get a Nurkic, if now, especially what we're seeing here with the Blazers, I think they need another big guy as well. So they need a lot of things here because Luka, of course, is incredibly talented. But as we've seen, he just can't do everything in the playoffs. They need someone else. And Porzingis, I hope the Latvian man's not going to email me, but look, he didn't turn up. He didn't turn up in the playoffs last season. And the season before in the bubble, he was playing okay, but he got injured. He's out injured right now. He's missed 20 games already this season. So you just can't rely on him. That's the problem. Boban started last season in the playoffs and actually was okay. That's pretty bad for the Mavericks if Boban is their second best player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So
you see them trying to be making moves here.
I think Dragic, obviously, you know, there's a contract there. I don't know what the Raptors can get back, but again, an Eric Gordon, someone to just say to Luka, you're not going to have to do absolutely everything for us. And Tim Hardaway, even though he's injured right now, hasn't really lived up to that contract so far this season. So, yeah, they need some help.
I've got the Nuggets here next. I think this is a fascinating one. I don't know what to think about them because they're such a weird squad. They're still playing really well. They're a top six team here in the Western Conference because Jokic is playing out of this world. I mean, he's playing better than he was in his MVP season, which is insane. But they're waiting on their guys to come back. Like Jamal Murray, in theory, is returning. And then they're a threat, right? If he's at 90, 95%, yes, whatever level he's at coming back from injury, they're really good. We've seen what he can do in playoff series. He's not afraid of the moment. But on the other hand, do you just look at this season as like a, all right, let's just sort of almost like, we don't need to go overboard here. We don't need to have to be, like, we made our Aaron Gordon move last year. That was all right. It's worked out okay. You know, but we don't need to do that again this year is what I'm getting at here. So maybe they're like sellers only in the sense of like a small name. Like Campazzo is out of the lineup. He doesn't play anymore because Bones Highland has come on really strong and they're like, oh, awesome. Let's give this guy minutes.
I love Bones.
And he's taking them.
Yesterday he tweeted, I want to be an all-star.
Good.
Just like I think he saw DeJounte Murray's tweet from 7 years ago that said, I want to be an all-star. He said, I want to too. I love Bones.
So if this team does have their eye on next season, which I think is totally fair, because of injuries to Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, then yeah, maybe like it's like the classic organization trying to do right by a player, like composite. They're like, okay, you're out of the rotation. We'll get you to a team that maybe you get some more minutes and help a team out or something like that, and they get a little bit of compensation back. I mean, he's a small salary. This is nothing here. He's like final year of a $4 million deal. But I just don't think they're going to be making a big move. Their move is, well, maybe Jamal Murray comes back. Otherwise, I don't see them even, you know, Monte Morris, I guess. You sell high on him. Maybe, but I don't think they will.
I guess they got Bryn Forbes a month ago because they think that they are a player. I mean, you don't trade for Bryn Forbes if you think that you're, you know, waiting for next year, I think. I think they are looking forward to the playoffs. But, yeah, they probably don't trade anybody from it because they probably believe in – they traditionally have believed in all their guys. Right. They obviously believe Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. And hopefully one of them comes back.
So I don't see them being buyers. I don't see them going to get like a big name of any note, but maybe they sell someone around the fringes that's out of the rotation, like Composito. All right, let's go to the Miami Heat. Let's go to the Eastern Conference, Trey. Buyers or sellers?
Here we go. This is what I was hanging on to that trade for. This is exactly because it's kind of actually hard to figure out a trade for the Miami Heat. Skeets, when you did your trade candidates for all the teams, KZ Okpala was the name that came up. Not a big name, but their real trade candidate is Duncan Robinson. He's got 4 years, $75 million on his contract after this season. He's turned it around a little bit here, but it hasn't been bubble Duncan. I think they could basically approximate his production with Max Strus, though Strus is a little bit smaller, doesn't have the continuity with the Heat that Duncan Robinson does, and I think Duncan's probably a little bit better defender. My favorite fake trade before last night was Duncan for Eric Gordon, but Gordon has 2 years left on his deal. He's already 33. I think he'll go somewhere else. So my new favorite fake Duncan Robinson trade to Memphis for Kyle Anderson. Heat get a different style player. They don't really have a Kyle Anderson, but he plays defense. He can make plays. He can hit a three if he needs to. He already plays slow like the rest of the Heat do. Memphis gets a younger player on a longer deal who does something they need. They need three-point shooting. They're 27th in the league in threes, 23rd in three-point percentage. This probably doesn't happen. I think the Heat are most likely going to just stay where they're at because they've been a really solid team despite all the injuries.
Yeah.
But Duncan Robinson for Kyle Anderson is very interesting to me. I think that really helps both teams.
What do you think?
I like that definitely for the Grizzlies, for sure. I think that three-point shooting would be something they desperately need. For the Heat, yeah, I mean, Kyle Anderson's a veteran. He's on an expiring deal. I just wonder if the Heat, though, do like potentially what Duncan can give them in the playoffs. You know, another guy who can hit threes, because that's what they like. He's a starter. They need him out there. But on the surface, I think the Grizzlies would be very interested if they could get him. You know, just again to help spread the floor. So I like it. Probably doesn't happen though.
No. The Heat probably don't probably do a whole lot, as we've talked about. Okay. Let's go to the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you got? What are they doing here?
Well, pretty obviously here, the Bucks, I mean, they're not a seller. But in order to buy, you almost have to have something to sell. True. So it's more a barter. It's more a barter, like a trade. But obviously the biggest glaring area.
The NBA barter deadline doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't. But it's the Brook Lopez situation. Yeah. He was a very crucial part of what they did last season to win the championship. And apart from the opening night, he hasn't played. They've tried DeMarcus Cousins. He was okay. They've brought back the Moose. Greg Monroe is currently on the team on a 10-day. Did you guys know Larry Sanders is still on the payroll in Milwaukee? This is his last season. He's getting paid. So obviously for them, you know, they can survive, I think, the regular season without it. But I think if they want to compete again and really be the toughest team they can be, they need someone who can replace what Brook gave them, someone like a Miles Turner. Now, I don't think because they gave up so many assets to get Drew Holiday, they really have it. Are they prepared to give up a DiVincenzo or a Pat Connaughton? I also think probably not. The other problem for the Bucks is compensation-wise, they lost their second-round pick for this season in the deal that didn't happen with Bogdanovich. So they really don't have anything unless they are prepared to give up one of those younger players, which I don't think they do. So instead, I think they're just going to try to see if they can get something to work with someone they can pick up off the scrap heap or maybe in the buyout market. Maybe a Thaddeus Young becomes available. But not the same as Brook, but a veteran strong presence is what they need there. So they're sort of a little bit tied as to what they can do. But I think that's where they're certainly sort of going to be mining the free agents, the buyout trade, the buyout list, because they want someone in there in Brook's place. Now, if someone was prepared to take Brook's contract, I think he's got $30 million on it next season, I think the Bucks would do it because they can't afford to just not have anyone there. They need someone. So, but then again, the problem comes back to they don't have that draft pick to attach to it. So it's a little bit tough. And according to my research as well, they don't control their first round pick until 2028 in Milwaukee.
Makes
so
sense.
It's worth it. They got the championship. You know, they're a contender again. So no question it was the right move to make. But now, with this injury, it's obviously been a very significant one. The margin for error is so small.
Right. Do you think the Bucks can win a title this season without Brooke Lopez at all?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, then that changes things a little bit if you believe that. Because some people would disagree with that.
No, of course they would. But, you know.
I know Trey being one of them.
Yeah. No, I think I still think they are. They can.
Okay.
I'm not sure they'd be the favorite, but I definitely think they can.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Trey Kirby's Chicago Bulls. Oh. Buyers or sellers, and who could be on the move?
I've gone a lot of ways with this for the Bulls, especially over the month of January and early into February. I think they're going to be holders for the most part. Minor buyers, I would say, is kind of what the Bulls are going to settle into, because their biggest acquisitions are going to be Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso getting healthy in the second half of the season. Maybe Patrick Williams comes back. It seemed like he was going to be out for the year, but now there's a little bit of optimism he returns. But you've seen how they've played against the best teams in the league so far. 1-11 the Bulls are against the top seven. Obviously, not every team has had their full players. The Bulls haven't had their full players still. They're a good team. They're not a great team. There are still a kind of little moves to be made. Troy Brown Jr. hasn't been great for the Bulls. He's making $5 million this season. He has a qualifying offer for $7 million next year. Derek Jones Jr. is hurt right now. He was a good small ball five when he was healthy. His athleticism really helps. He's on an expiring deal, $9 million this year. And Tony Bradley, $2 million this year, $2 million next year. Trade any of those guys. Just try something new. The bench hasn't been incredible, especially in this latest run. So I think they could all be moved and upgraded. Guys I would target are like Kenrich Williams, Jakob Poeltl, Torrey Craig. Larry Nance Jr. just went in this New Orleans Pelicans trade. Thad Young coming back. I don't know. They're just minor players who are a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, who focus on defense. That's exactly what the Bulls need. And they should also trade for a new doctor to get these guys healthy. That's the main thing. They're going to get better just by bringing their guys back. It's like maybe the four most important acquisitions for any team in the league are going to be Brooke Lopez coming back, Draymond coming back, Caruso, and Lonzo coming
back.
Jamal
Murray.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Guys can return into their team.
Somebody's got to duplicate those Phoenix Doctors. They seem like the Phoenix Doctors were great
the best.
In the 2000s, you know, keeping everybody healthy, and now the same thing. I mean, they are 1 through 15, amazing.
All right, three teams left. The Cavs, they've already made their move. They got Caris LeVert. You know, that's another perimeter scorer, a little playmaking added there. They needed it with Rubio going down, with Sexton, of course, out. I don't think they're going to do anything else. I don't think they're trading Okoro. I think they really like him, obviously, being a young guy. I don't think they're trading any sort of draft capital. You know, Sexton's name has come up. I actually think now with what they've done, they're going to be way below the luxury tax. So they have a chance to retain him and avoid still the luxury tax. I mean, he'll have like basically an $8.5 million qualifying offer, making him a restricted free agent in the summer. So I don't think they're in any rush. They're obviously playing above their heads. The vibes are great. Get into the playoffs. Get experience for these young guys. Help. Maybe win a series, for all we know, with how they play defense. And that's it. So I don't see them doing anything else. Does anybody disagree that they'll make another move here?
No. If somebody knocks their socks off on a Sexton trade, I would think is the only way it really happens. But bringing in Caris LeVert for Rubio, like, you were going to trade one of those two dead contracts this season for something. They got their help, so we'll see. And now if you can keep Colin Sexton on a small deal, sure, that's nice.
All right, Lee, we gave you this team because we wanted to see Fark
Farked up
in the Slack. 76ers, we don't need to go long on this, but are they going to be buyers or sellers?
They're looking to sell a mansion and buy a mansion, really. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, obviously it's the Simmons and Harden potential deal looming, but I do wonder if they try to move off the Tobias Harris contract, because apparently, you know, they are trying to get away from him. But I don't think they do it unless there's the same sort of things like, well, we have to make this move for this guy. Tobias is a frustrating player, no doubt about it, but he is consistent and he's been on that team for a while. I wouldn't just trade him for the sake of trading him. If they didn't have Andre Drummond, I would say obviously they need someone to sort of help mop up some minutes behind him. But Drummond has proven, when Embiid's been out, he's been a very good replacement. So I really, obviously everything looms over Simmons and James Harden, and that's really, nothing else is going to change, I don't think, before that.
Right. You don't see Simmons going to any other team here. Even the Blazers.
Well, I mean, I guess it's can be in play now. Yep. I mean, he's a young player under contract. He's got 3 years after this one. He's a defensive player. So, I mean, if the Blazers are like, yep, we're moving on from Lillard, then possibly.
Okay. Final team, Toronto Raptors. Buyers or sellers here? We brought up Dragic's name, but anything else they got to go get?
Well, the Raptors got to be buyers now. With the way they're playing right now, I would say their top four are untouchable after the six-game win streak. It feels like Siakam, Van Vliet, OG, and Gary Trent are there for, you know, this season at the very least to see what they do and for, you know, the future here.
But Scottie Barnes is untouchable.
Yes, too. yes, of course. Yeah. But with Masai Ujiri there, you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. These 48 hours here before the deadline, there are seemingly players that are coming up, like Damian Lillard. Seems to be coming up. I'm not saying the Raptors are trading for Damian Lillard. Can't go that far quite yet. So I think the Raptors, yeah, they have Dragic available, Precious Achiuwa available. Actually, they should only be able to trade them together, like the way that they acquired them for Kyle Lowry. Listen, it does feel like the Blazers are tearing this down. It feels like the Wizards are sort of in the same boat. But, you know, sometimes I think maybe the GM there in Portland has beat the Wizards to the punch a little bit. I don't know. Is Beal going to be dealt in the next 40 hours, or is he going to be dealt in the offseason? It doesn't feel like Beal's going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. So is there a package out there? Is there a package out there that the Raptors could acquire Bradley Beal for? Is that crazy? I mean, my fingers got a...
They could put together a very enticing package. Ooh, yes. But the question is, are you trade? Yeah, do you just trade for the all NBA level player like, yes, a Beal, like we've seen?
Yes.
But you're giving up 2-3, you know, obviously promising, solid players.
Would you trade OG?
It depends on the package. That's, I mean, I think
OG, Dragic, whatever pick you need to throw in to make it interesting for the Wizards.
Wow.
I would think about, I mean, I put this on the paper. I put this in the trade machine and it worked. Bradley Beal coming back to join the big four, to be with Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent and OG and Siakam. But you have to give up Scottie Barnes to get him. Scottie Barnes, wow. Dragic and Achiuwa and a first round pick, or you know, whether that works anyways. I know it sounds crazy, but Masai is willing to make that deal.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, the person you're giving up, the talent you're giving up is Scottie Barnes, mm-hmm, and what his ceiling can become.
Yeah.
Really, that's the only piece that you're worried about becoming a superstar player if, right, you're Masai Ujiri.
Right. And but then you're also having to, like, say, does Bradley Beal really make us, like, you know, if we have a 10% chance to win a title right now, does Bradley Beal take us to what? 20%? 30%? Mm. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's asking. Like, he's doing all this on his BlackBerry.
Mm. Does that still work?
I don't know.
I thought they stopped that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They just came around and asked for everybody's BlackBerry back?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So those are the top 12 teams, you know, six in each conference, that we debate whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. Maybe you guys agree, disagree. You have the full details of, yes, the McCollum deal. It looks like it's like it's fleshing out here a little bit. So what is it? Just,
okay,
one more time.
So going to Portland, yep, is Josh Hart, Nikolai Alexander-Walker, Thomas Satoransky.
Nikhil.
Yep. Didi Luzada, a protected 2022 first-round pick and 2 second-round picks.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then going to New Orleans is CJ, Larry Nance, and Tony Snell. So, okay, just looking at the draft picks, they have the Pelicans here. They have a protected one from the Charlotte Hornets, okay, top 14 protected. So, I suspect it could be that one in the 2022 draft there. So, not a bad haul there. I think not a bad trade for both teams here. You're getting Larry Nance going there to the Pelicans. So, they definitely feel like they're going for something this season. They're not just mailing the season in completely.
The Pelicans, yeah.
The Pelicans, yeah. And
it feels like the Blazers have had to, like, basically say, wow, we want all these picks, yeah, but no one wants to give them to them. So, say, hey, we'll give you a young guy that was just a pick, be it Keon Johnson in the last trade, now Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Yeah. I know he's played a couple years. And then here's like another sort of pick, but it's protected. Like, yeah, but there's nothing unprotected here.
Blazers are acquiring New Orleans 22 first rounder. Pick comes to the Blazers if it's between 5 and 14. So they are really wanting the Pelicans to not make it into the playoffs.
Wow.
Basically, what the Blazers are doing are undoing every one of Neil Olshey's last moves. It was the Larry Nance trade. It was Robert Covington. Yep. And it was Norm Powell. Those are the last three moves he made. And those are the three moves that Cronin has made, being like, I don't know about that, Neil.
Right. We're still doing another show after this?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's wrap this one up. Let's take a break. We'll get to Tweet of the Night and pick 'em results. Don't go anywhere.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right. I thought I was talking to myself there for a second. Ventriloquist. All right, we're back with the No Dunks crew here in the Classic Factory. Shout out to the stream teamers joining us live, doing big numbers once again. Take a second to like the video and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, especially this week as we get to the trade deadline on Thursday. We're going to be here at the new desk all day long reacting to hopefully a bunch of the deals coming through. Let's get to Tweet of the Night, though.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh my God, did I mail this one in? There was just too much going on in the NBA right now, and I was panicking. I needed a tweet. And so I checked out this great Twitter account called @NoDunksInc, INC on the end. Mm-hmm. And they had this great tweet that I was like, oh, that's funny. That's a nice photo. And, you know, it was topical. And the tweet said, computers are part of the NBA now. Shout out to the New York Knicks. And then there's this photo of us. And Lee, you said it's from 2013, yes. October. And you got JD, you got Matty O, you got me, of course, Tass, and Trey Kirby. And got some small beards there. You got no beards in my case. And there's a cool iPhone 5 on the table. Lee's got a mouse that he's plugged in. What mouse are you using?
I have no idea. Absolutely none.
Yep. So I guess just sharing this, I mean, it works two ways, right? Because of the whole computers are now a part of the NBA with the whole tips part. But then, you know, the desk part, too. We're sitting here at a new desk, and that's an old desk we sat at.
That table is trash.
Yeah, that last one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what kind of wood that it was. But it doesn't look like oak, and it doesn't look high quality to me.
I agree. Yeah. It's, I mean, Lee, if you were guessing what type of wood that old desk is, what would you say?
Teak?
You think that's a teak?
Are you kidding?
JD drops
a guess. I took a guess.
He took a guess. He doesn't know wood. Okay. What are you, Christian?
Well, we're saying how bad the wood is, and then he names the best wood there is.
I didn't know you were such a big wood man.
I'm a wood guy.
For sure.
So you take a guess, wood man. What do you think?
Formica? I don't even know. Like
particle board.
Look at that piece of shit.
Garbage desk.
Yeah. Now we're sitting on a nice oak here. It's really nice.
What's weird is that we sat at that desk a lot, but I can't even orient myself. Which direction is this?
That door was the control room for March Madness and stuff.
But is there a hallway on the left there?
You go around that corner and you're exiting out kind of to Studio B.
It just doesn't look like there's a hallway there. It just looks like a wall.
I agree. Yeah. It's a little deceiving.
Yeah. I mean, single-use plastic all over the table, too. Terrible.
Awful.
Horrendous. And not enough outlets. That's what I hated about this desk. I was caught.
We had terrible outlets. You're right. Yeah,
there's no... It really is just a room for hanging, not for working. The computers weren't a part of modern-day work back then. I mean, this is 2013. No outlets.
Computers were not a part of the NBA back then?
No, exactly.
They are now.
And I'm looking at that phone, Skeets. That's an iPhone 6C. And I only say that because I know... that just like that table, that's the worst iPhone I ever had in my life.
The 6?
I hated the iPhone 6C. Mm. Maybe because it felt like a child's phone.
Look how tiny that thing looks.
Yeah, it was just... I hated that phone.
Lee's mouse is bigger than your phone. Wild.
That phone sucks in that table. Not teak.
All right. Shout out to Matty O there. Now, that's a real desk right there. Real oak. Pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM. Last night, Suns Bulls. Suns were favored by 6.5. We had Tass taking them. We had Lee taking them. As we talked about at the start of the show, you guys were looking good. They were up 15 a couple minutes ago. Got this one wrapped up. No. Here come the Bulls with the backdoor cover. Oh, what a win for Trey and I. Trey improves to 4-1. In the month of February, I improved to 3-2, same record as Lee. I actually got to be honest, Taz, I felt bad for this loss. Mm-hmm. Taz is still looking for a win in February, and you had it, and it just got snatched from you there by the Chicago Bulls cover.
I'm trying to have a winless month. I'm going for it.
Never been done.
It's hard. It's hard to back your way into that. It's more to prove that you shouldn't gamble. This segment brought to you by BetMGM. Boston visiting Brooklyn, I thought was a bit of a tough game tonight. Brooklyn, 5.5-point dogs at home. And that's why we're Splitsville on this one. Mm. Trey and I think the Nets will cover, despite all their injuries. Obviously, no Durant, no Kyrie playing at home unless something changes in the next few weeks.
Is Harden out again?
Yeah, that's the question. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Just went with the 5.5-point fighters. He's questionable. Well, I believe that they'll scrap out. Everybody believing in the Celtics, Skeets and Lee taking the Celtics. Yes, they're 7-1 over their last 8. They have beaten a lot of bad teams, even though, you know, I want to believe that they're legit. But 6 points to win by on the road, it is a good amount. So that's a good line makers.
Good stuff. Got a Splitsville over here. Lee and I taking the Celtics, and we got Trey and Tass taking the Nets to cover. Okay, let's call it there. We got to regroup and do a whole other podcast on the CJ McCollum to the New Orleans Pelicans trade. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and Apple or wherever you listen to us. So you'll see that come through as soon as we're done doing that. Email in your NBA questions all week long to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Get yourself some No Dunks gear over at nodunks.com. And again, just make sure you subscribe because we got to take a second, get this show up. You know, I got to use Grammarly to do the description and all that. And then we'll sit right back down here and go live, I'm sure, or at least do another podcast on the McCollum news. That's a big deal. McCollum is a good player.
Oh, yeah.
And the Blazers are obviously making some decisions here, so I can't wait to really unpack it because we were finding out little tidbits there as the show went along.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you do it live, you know?
It's fun, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah,
I live too. For this. Yeah. This is all I have right now, man. We will talk to you guys very, very soon. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to call this table Charles, as in Oakley. Now, I might not say it out loud because calling inanimate objects names is weird, but I'll say it to myself.
Nice to have you on the team, Charles.
Good for a show, Charles.
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.